The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
It is. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa.
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter.
And here we are on Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, at 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we're streaming live, so you can hear us all over the world. And that's the truth.
Amen.
At KCNR Radio. .com, KCNRradio.com. And if you want to call in, we have a guest here we're going to introduce in just a second. If you want to call in, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And this program is archived forever.
And ever.
Forever and ever, amen.
It is.
Yes.
And the nice thing about that is that you can share this, too. I mean, we don't care if you share our archives. In fact, we want you to share our archives. And we have Mr. Michael Gallagher in here, who's running for District 5. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me.
Good. Okay. And you can share this. And folks that are, you can always share this program. So anyway, Mike, give us a couple of minutes on your background, who you are, and all that good stuff.
Sure. 3 minutes. Okay, let's do the fast version. 62 years old. In July, I'll be 62. I've been in Shasta County for 40 years. Love my county. Love living here. Grew up just a few miles south and been in the North State my whole life. Outdoorsman, former small business person, moved to Anderson in 2013. Got on the Planning Commission in 14, was appointed there, and have been serving the city of Anderson ever since. I got 10 months left on my current term, and married 25 years to my beautiful wife, Deanna. We have four adult children and 9 grandchildren, and so that's one of the reasons I'm running for supervisor, want to maintain what we have here. Been fortunate to travel a little bit, and every time we come back, we're like, not going anywhere. In spite of the state of our state, we're not going to move. We're not going to run. We're going to stay and fight for a better tomorrow. So, what else? Yeah, that's probably about it.
Yeah,
just in a nutshell, that's kind of who I am. Love to hunt and fish, I'm good at it, by the way.
That's good.
Got it. Yeah.
Which one do you enjoy the most? Are they sort of on an equal ground, or which one do you enjoy the most?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Tagging a big Trinity River steelhead on a plug in my drift boat is pretty exciting. Walking through the woods with my compound bow in my hand, though, that's pretty hard to beat, too.
It's really
hard to harvest anything with that, though. So a lot of hunting happening there, but not a lot of harvesting. But I have got to kill 3 big mule deer in Colorado, so that was fun. So
when'd you do that?
Oh gosh, I think the first time we went was, give me a second, I'm not great with years, back in
you did okay 2000s. With your wife, though. You did good with that.
Thank you.
You had
yes.
Everything good there. You're
October October 30 no yeah August 31 whoops we moved
oh, man.
We okay you let me clarify
perfect,
come
buddy.
On Terry, don't quarter me yet. We moved to Anderson October 31 of 13. I got married 2001 on August 31st. So there.
There you go.
Clarification. Sorry, honey. I stumbled there.
Good save.
Good save, yes. Anyways, and I'm so grateful. She's an amazing businesswoman, author, and very proud of her and all of her accomplishments as well. So
awesome.
She's a good one.
Yeah, you know, you've got things listed on your website, and mm-hmm. I went through your website today, and we had talked previously, and mm-hmm. what we like to do with each candidate is we like to ask them the three things that they mm-hmm. believe are that they want to accomplish.
Yeah.
But more importantly, how they hope to accomplish it.
Yeah.
And accomplish it within their jurisdiction. The first one you have is no more wasteful spending.
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered about that because Shasta County's in the black. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, well, we know we had to cut our budget in Anderson. You know, that was real. We got, and so I think, the one thing that comes to mind is things like spending $40,000 on a report that was presented to Anderson that was, we need more doctors. I agree with that. I think we need more plumbers and HVAC technicians like I was for 13 years. But that was basically $40,000 to send a letter to in support of we need a doctor's training facility. So I don't think that was great money spent. So I think we could do better there. I think there's room in our HHSA spending. I think there's room to do better. And the solution to that really is just to go line by line and look at what we're spending money on. And if we can adjust, we can adjust. But it's not an easy, quick fix. You know, it didn't happen overnight in Anderson, just for the record. Well, we worked hard on that for quite a while.
Just going to be for clarity.
Sure.
It's just always for clarity. Mm-hmm. Anderson's in the red. They were in the black. You had to get money from the county to exist. So, and the county is in the black. And $40,000 in the scheme of things for what they did, I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's nothing. Sure. It's a nothing burger. So I guess my thought process is how exactly and what do you cut that's really real?
Yeah.
And how would you do it under the jurisdiction you have? What would you do and how would you do it?
Okay. Well, let me clarify your other statement because you came at me pretty tough the other night. You're saying we're in the red and I want to clarify that. What happened in Anderson over the course of the last 2 years, we did four major projects in our city. You talk about the black, but we're talking about cash flow. And then it was also brought up about our reserves. Those are two different things. Cash is all in one big bucket. And then the budget, you see the different categories. Okay. So what actually happened there was, we waited 7 years on the park.
Were you on
trail.
The council the whole time?
The whole time, okay. 7 years. When the flood happened 7 or 8 years ago and washed out our Anderson River Park, that's a $750,000 project that we waited for 7 years to get FEMA funding. That, when they said, yes, we will reimburse, because that's what they do. They don't front the money. So the city gets to take out of their cash and pay for that project. And now we're waiting for FEMA to reimburse our $750,000. Now in our budget, to your point, Terry, I don't disagree. The $40,000 is a nothing burger, but that's what we got for $40,000 when it comes to the $600 million that the county is stewarding. But back to Anderson. So that happened.
Well, with all due respect, what we want to do is we want to know how you're going to fix the supervisor situation.
But I want to make sure because, you know, bailout was used and, you know, we're in the black and we're failing miserably in Anderson, which isn't the truth. So in February 6th, 2024, we passed a resolution.
The black, but go ahead.
Okay. Black isn't necessarily failing and red isn't necessarily
failing.
And red isn't necessarily failing because in city and county government, it just happens all the time. It ebbs and flows. As I said the other night in your meeting, you know, it comes and goes. So February 6, 2024, we had the opportunity through the State Water Resources Control Board to do a well rehab, one of our many wells, because we pump all our water in Anderson. We don't take surface water. It all comes out of the ground. And by the way, we discharge 1 million gallons back into the river through our wastewater system. So they should be paying us for that because we're helping the farmers and the fish, by the way, just for the record. So we had a well that needed to be rehabbed. So that That was a $3.2 million well rehab to start. So they approved a reimbursement again. So
meaning FEMA.
Nope. This is the now. This is State Water Resources Control Board.
They approved it.
Their grants.
Go ahead.
They had grants, and so they approved that we could do this project. Mm-hmm. You know, the city of Anderson can't do these projects. We have a little bit of money to leverage, then they give us the rest, right? So, in this particular project, $3.2 million to start. So we moved ahead. We said, hey, they're going to reimburse. We moved ahead. But you pay the contractors, right? You get a contractor, so we start paying them progress payments out of our cash, okay? This is what happens. So we're doing this at the same time. Now we're trying to rebuild the park trail.
Okay.
So pull the well, pull the building, send a camera down there, and the casing's failing. Now, these aren't your home wells of 6-inch pipe. These are massive. They pump a lot of water. And so emergency adjustment to that project of $1.5 million to move 50 feet away from the old hole so you can punch a new hole in there. So, yes, we approved that. We are still working on getting that reimbursed. But those are monies that we front load out. Okay, this is prior to the recent statements. Meanwhile, we also had the opportunity to repave McMurray Drive, our main cross between the exit heading north and the exits heading south, and all our businesses along McMurray Drive, 750,000, roughly. Don't quote me on the numbers. Please don't corner me on
the numbers. Well, I'm just, I mean, this is all about planning. But anyway,
we had a sewer line.
I'd like you to wrap it up with all due respect, because what I want to know is what you're going to do to make it better in your current position you're going for. I understand all this.
But to get there, if you're going to tell us we're failing.
No, I didn't say that. You said okay. you used the word failing. I didn't use that.
But you used bailout, which would imply.
I didn't
imply
use the word bailout either.
You used it the other night. Four times, Terry.
Okay. Well,
so that's okay, but let me just finish.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
We did a sewer line replacement right by Safeway. Again, 12-inch sewer line, 700,000. You don't put the contractor off, right? You got to pay him. So now we're talking about almost $6 million, or maybe a little north. I didn't do all the math this morning as I was writing it out, but that's money we've paid out. So what your quote-unquote bailout was, $1.5 million of our tax revenue dollars, okay? The county didn't cough up $1.5 million that wasn't ours to begin with. Hmm. This was based on, now, because what's going to happen is the term bailout's going to be used 100 times against Anderson, and I'm going to defend Anderson every time. So we shelled out $6 million.
Yeah, you're the
cash
one who's using
had.
It. No, you're the one who's using it on this radio program.
It was your, okay. But what I want to make sure that the fine citizens of Shasta County understand is we did the right thing. The county did the right thing. We, based on the revenues that were going to come in through the property tax in January, they for a small fee compared to going to a bank or anywhere else, we did the right thing. They fronted us $1.5 million so that we didn't have to lay any employees off. You know, we actually cared for our employees. We took good care of them. Nobody had and yes, I said the other night in your meeting, you know, we have multiple people doing everything they can to help our budget. Our budget is in a challenging time, but so is 100 other jurisdictions across the Fruited Plains because of the last 4 years of the Biden administration that loves to promise money and then they don't come through. So there's no question in that we needed a little help from our big brother called the county, but to couch it as we're failing somehow in Anderson is very disappointing to me, because that's not the case. We did the right thing by the great employees that we have, and we have stellar people working in our city, and I'm very fortunate to be able to serve that group of folks who work their butts off. Doesn't matter if they're in the parks or in police or public works or anywhere else. We got great people. We've made great moves. One of them, we spent $350,000 on a vehicle that is now fully stocked and ready to go. If there's a water leak in our streets, we do it in-house, and it saves us tens of thousands of dollars every time there's a water leak.
When did you guys do that? That's a good move.
We did that 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You know, but it was an expenditure, and you got to go, oh, gosh, that's $350,000 out of the budget. You know, we don't have a great big budget. But when you look at long term, which is what we did with this particular topic, you know, this is how government is supposed to work, and this is how it did work. It cost the city much less to reach out to the county than to go to a bank. We're going to spend about 10 grand to borrow our money, like the banks do to you and I every day, right? You borrow your own money to go get your house loan, right? So that was Anderson taxpayer revenue that we got fronted a little bit early.
Got hit with a lot of stuff right away.
And we did. Yeah. Listen, the reality in city government is we would do one of those projects in 1 year, not four. We would never do four. But when FEMA says, hey, guess what? We're going to approve.
And they didn't
you
give
don't
money.
Wait.
Yeah.
If you yeah. balk on that, they will cancel that reimbursement.
So then when is the reimbursement? That's my question for FEMA.
Yeah.
When is that reimbursement scheduled to come in?
When you find out, would you let me know? I mean, this is how FEMA works. They'll tell you, but they don't. They don't make any promises.
So when did you guys actually spend that money that they approved without giving anything to you? When did they approve you going ahead and spending the money?
Oh,
that
would have been in, I think, late 24. You're asking me details that I didn't get the dates.
So over
the specific
a year ago.
Dates. So, oh, yeah. They have no problem making you wait.
Mike, I
want. Wow, that's frustrating.
You have no idea.
That's
go get elected, sit on a dais, approve a project for $700,000 only to wait for the reimbursement that the federal government promised us.
Yeah. I want to stay in the same vehicle here, but just shift gears a bit. You talked about a grant from the state for $3.2 million.
Mm-hmm. Give or take.
In a good world of the state of Jefferson, our concept is somewhat different in that the money that is generated in the cities and counties stays there. It does not go to the state, and then they dribble it back to you as they see fit. So where do you stand as a county supervisor on the issue of a state split, which is being pushed now by James Gallagher, no relation?
Mm-hmm. No relation. I'm a big fan, and I think the minute that happens, if you have supervisors in place, I'll step aside and you run hard because I
no, we don't
listen.
Want,
I
we
agree.
Don't want you to step aside.
No, I understand.
We want you to support.
100%. don't get me started on how the state does money. Just look.
We
understand.
Yeah.
It is so frustrating as an elected who has to. I mean, I've sat on the RABA board till I couldn't take it. I could take it a little longer, but I wanted to step aside and let somebody else do it. In our transportation spending in the state?
Crazy.
It is crazy.
RABA
is insane. No, it's actually insane.
It is.
Because the definition, as we all know what the definition of insanity is.
Well, they're constantly in the red. They operate in the red. It's like, what the heck?
I fought and fought and fought and often was a 6-1. I think there's 7 on that board.
Yeah.
6-1 votes over and over and over again based on we're spent. Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'm answering your question. Yes.
I just want to know where you stand on a state split.
I think any ability we could find to be more sovereign and not be under the thumb of the state government is a move in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Well,
what I'm saying.
It sounds like I'm going to the Waffle House.
Well,
either you do or you don't.
Right.
So it's yes or no. Do you support a state split?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all
we want to know.
I've looked at all the different ones, and I you know, you can criticize this if you need to, but what you have to understand is I haven't put a lot of effort in that. Because as an elected, you get to operate under the system you're stuck in.
Right.
And I feel very stuck in a system. So there's that. There's amazing efforts being put out there to create a state split and to do the state split. And I'm like, bring it. I don't have the time and energy to invest in that personally because I'm trying to oversee and help the city of Anderson be the best city that can be.
Or the county of Shasta.
And now, and it will be the county of Shasta. But I've looked at that. I think, you have amazing people up in Eastern Oregon that are all in. Like, help us, Lord.
Well, we're not even associated with any other state. That's not how a state
And that doesn't work that way anyway.
Okay.
You have to
Well, I thought the original state of Jefferson incorporated Southern Oregon and Northern California.
That was before they read the Constitution.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that
Article 4, Section 3.
Yeah. But yes, I'm for that because Prop 50.
Oh. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly? I mean, come on. That's
and
just
then all
not
the other
okay.
All the other garbage that comes out that, of our legislature.
That's coming with it.
And the current governor.
And as electeds, you know, the challenge is to, I think this will help answer your question. For instance, the other day we had to pass 4 housing elements because HCD said you're behind on
right.
your housing elements.
Right.
So we're talking about high density. Sorry, I jumped right into the middle of the microphone. I almost ate that thing. high density, they get the builders, if they guarantee, and I'm winging it a little bit, but if the part that frustrated me the most that I remember was if you build high density and you promise to have low or very low income units in there for 55 years,
mm-hmm.
wow.
then we're going to give you the high density exclusion so that you can actually build higher density than the city of Anderson would have allowed. And we didn't get to stop it. And it's always, so when you split the state, please don't make policy and then try to punish me at $10,000 a day.
The state wouldn't have any say over that.
Policy would be
but
held locally, not through the state.
But this is what we're under. The yoke we're under right now is they say, upgrade your housing element or we're going to fine you $10,000 a day. Well, when our small $10 million budget for the city of Anderson that does not only police all the parks and recs, all the planning, all the everything, you know, I'm not going to put the citizens of Anderson at that risk. So
right.
you unfortunately with gritted teeth, you say, okay, we're going to update our housing element because that's the threat that the state brings down to you. But I'm not willing, and you, again, you know, people are going to push back, I'm quite certain, but that's the reality that I'm not willing to put the wonderful 11,300 taxpayers in Anderson at risk of and say, oh, by the way, just kick down another few bucks out of it. Now,
how does the rest of the Anderson City Council feel about that? Are you guys all thinking along the same lines, or is that just?
Yeah, I can't
know?
Speak. I won't speak for them. Well, I've had other council people speak for me, and I'm not going to do
well,
it.
It's not a hard question. It's not really yeah. even political. It's just a matter of you think most of them understand.
I hope.
You hope they do, but you don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a caller on the line, Steve. What say you, sir?
Yeah, my heart started to pound when he was a little bit questioning on the state split. It's either yes or no, and thanks for nailing that down. I just want to remind everybody that without the people, there would be no cities. Without the cities, there'd be no counties. Without the counties, there'd be no government, no state. Excuse me, the state. So the people run the cities. The cities run the counties. You as a city, we as a city have to act and educate the people of the city, you know, the leaders, the supervisors, the city councils, and whoever else wants to speak up strong enough about the corruption, and educate the people, and that's the problem. We got to take our cities back. We have to take our counties back. Hold the money from the state because the state is in tyranny. And it's very, very evident, prevalent, and the evidence has been showing itself for the last 20 years. It's just been mounting up and mounting up. And the big thing is that it's under this administrative law, which is unconstitutional. So I'll listen to your comments on the phone. Thank you, then.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, well, yeah, we probably should go to a break on that note. But when we get back, I'd like to know how you feel about Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know, are you thinking about a forensic audit? And I'm going to leave all that up to Wynn. He's sort of our expert on that. And time has come.
For 51.
We're getting it done.
Amen.
Well, it's all right.
Comfort means to you. At Alliance. Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 642.
Everybody calls us.
Open now at Turtle Bay Museum, Thomas D. Mangelson, A Life in the Wild, featuring 40 of the legendary wildlife photographer's most powerful images captured in the wild. These iconic once-in-a-lifetime moments include polar bears dancing on Arctic ice, a salmon leaping straight into the jaws of a massive brown bear, landscapes from all seven continents, and much more. The A Life in the Wild tour is produced by David J. Wagner, LLC, and is on display at Turtle Bay Museum now through May 3rd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
I am not okay. I'm barely getting by. Oh, I'm losing track of days, losing sleep at night. I am not okay.
Me neither.
We're not okay. We are not okay.
Not at all.
Welcome back, everybody. Jefferson State of Mind. We have Mike Gallagher, who is running for District 5 in Studio Live. If you have a question, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
Just so everybody understands, it's District 5, Board of Supervisors of Shasta County is what he's running for.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure we put it all out.
Sounds good.
There you go.
And when you've got some things about Health and Human Services, and talk a little bit about what you see there as far as maybe a forensic audit, go ahead.
Have you seen the budget, Shasta County budget?
I haven't dug deep into it, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suggest you do that.
I will.
And then you make copious notes and start forensic audits.
Okay.
It is time for every agency in Shasta County, city, mm-hmm. county, whatever, we need to have forensic audits, because we know that good money is being spent in bad places for stupid things. And we've heard it in board meetings. They'll admit to it. Not the board mm-hmm. so much, but people that represent those different departments within the county.
Yeah.
They have admitted to it
right.
in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are you kidding? So you sit there and you wonder what the heck they're doing. So is your tactic when you do a budget, is it to go line item by line item or just to pencil whip it and move on?
No, we've worked over the last couple years.
No. You personally.
Okay. I'm answering your question.
Okay.
Us personally worked with staff we let staff do their work, and we get to go through the budget as well. Mm-hmm. And we did go line by line. We didn't need a forensic audit. And we were able to save a lot of money in our budget. We cut everywhere we could. We took and sometimes it was little by little, right? But if it was $5,000, then you saved that $5,000 and it's added up.
Do you know what a forensic audit carries the power of? It carries the arresting power.
Yeah.
So what happens in a forensic audit mm-hmm. is that when they are done properly, that things will be found. It's not just a debit and credit and a balance. It's finding out what was spent, why it was spent. Was it authorized to be spent that way?
Yeah.
Was it authorized by the right people to spend it the way they spent it? And then if they didn't, and if there are any hinky things going on, and they knowingly and willingly did it and were essentially breaking the law, the power of law is behind it. It can go in and they can be arrested for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start doing forensic audits, it's amazing how things get cleaned up. Truly. By themselves. They'll clean them up.
Yeah.
So if you have the threat or the promise of a forensic audit coming,
mm-hmm.
guess what? Things will get cleaned up. People end up finding jobs elsewhere all of a sudden. It's amazing how that cleans it up.
Yeah.
No agency, city or county, has done that here in Shasta County yet. Mm. And it boggles my mind that they haven't done it yet.
They haven't, yeah.
We've had people promise.
Yes, we've had people promising, when I get in there, yes, absolutely, we'll do it. And guess what? To date, they still haven't done it.
Well, let me answer it this way. And I'm not going to make that promise today. I said the other night, and I'm not making campaign promises because one, most of them don't come to fruition. The other reason I'm not going to promise a forensic audit today is it would require a vote of five, well, a vote of three to do it. Four. And I don't know that that would, or it, yeah, it might be the 4-1 that particular thing. I also believe, and what's worked in Anderson, is that when you have really strong, good leadership leading as they should, then you don't probably have to go quite that far.
The problem is
Hold on. I'll answer your question when you're there. But it's the challenge is as an elected, I don't get to walk in and go, this is what we're going to do, because the system isn't designed that way. Now we can push for that. We could look at that. We can bring that up, but to sit here on the radio and promise you forensic audits, it's just not how the system works.
I'm not asking for a promise. I was pushing
pretty darn hard the other night on guaranteeing that we're going to do forensic audits, and I don't have the power to do that.
Not yet.
Well,
but if you're elected, then you do have power you're one of five.
Sure.
So you represent 20% of the county, but you represent the entire county.
Here's what I think would be great.
Your voice is important.
Is to not make promises, but start those conversations.
Okay.
And I think most of what the issues that we have in the county could be solved if we started having conversations again, which, from my standpoint, isn't happening.
Okay.
I don't see good, solid conversations with folks that we don't agree with, by the way, and finding that common ground and how do we move forward together. I just don't see that happening right now. And that's why I'm running, because I want to start the conversation again. I'd be happy to talk about forensic audits, but to sit on the radio and tell you I'm going to promise that, I can't.
I don't think he asked you that. And I think that Janet had a question.
Okay.
Nobody is trying to... We're trying to just get clarity on where you're coming from, Mike. That's all. We're trying to get clarity.
I love it.
We've heard enough stuff from people, mm-hmm. which has been platitude.
Yeah.
And so far, honestly, I haven't heard anything mm-hmm. of what you're going to do, the three things you want to do, and how you're going to solve them. Go ahead, Janet.
First of all, a line-by-line analysis of the budget does not replace a forensic audit.
100%.
And second, a forensic audit cures, looks at, tries to solve mm-hmm. the errors of the past. It isn't putting pressure on the current system. It looks at the past and makes sure that it's been done right.
Oh, that's fair.
And how can we have a good budget going forward if we don't know that the budget and the spending of the past were done correctly?
Right. And we'd be pretty hard-pressed to it'd be easy to find error, right? I think we all would agree that there's been spending that none of us would agree with.
Error is different than malfeasance.
Yes.
Well, and that's
what that's what he's trying to say.
And the big thing too is staff cannot perform the forensic audit.
Yeah. Right.
You hire a separate agency that's qualified to do it in the state of California, because that's unfortunately what we have to deal with. But whether they're from Florida, New York, California even, different agencies provide that service. And, of course, it's going to cost money because that's how it works. But they can come in and they can do their due diligence and they tell you what it is.
Right.
They're not looking to sweep things under the rug. They're just going to tell you the truth.
Right.
And that's what needs to happen. We want to operate with the truth because it's every one of ours, all of us, all four of us here and everybody else out there listening.
Yeah.
It's our tax dollars 100%. At work. And I'm tired of hearing they don't have money for this or money for that when our streets, you know, I know that's, I live in the city of Reading, so it's the jurisdiction of the city of Reading, but it's still the same. How come our streets are so horrible? And, you know, some of them are truly going to cause people to be in serious injury wrecks.
Right.
And that's the part that's so frustrating. And I don't know. I live in a fairly decent neighborhood, and our street is torn up. And they just came in, and they're doing a water improvement thing where they're laying the pipe down.
Yeah.
And then they go across the street, and they go down the side of the street. And you're just – it's like going through the cone system of driving through there. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. And then the asphalt laid isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's all buckling out of the holes. And it's just – but that's, our street isn't alone. It's all over Reading. Or even Shasta County.
I would love to talk about streets, but I want to finish on the forensic audit part.
I want to actually leave the forensic audit. I think we've put that one to rest.
Okay.
But you had three things that you wanted to accomplish, and the second one had to do with health and human services and domestic violence.
Yeah.
So tell us how, as a county supervisor, that falls under your jurisdiction, and what do you have planned? What do you want to see happen?
Right. I think the answer, if there is an answer to domestic violence, again, every time I hear that we're five times the state average in Shasta County, it just grieves me.
Well, like it bothers all of us, but please answer the question. What are you going to do about it within your jurisdiction? What is the solution? I think people are tired of hearing that we all don't like it, Mike, but tell us what your solution is. Go ahead.
Okay. I think the solution is that we begin with the first responders. And what are they encountering out there when, and some of the most dangerous calls that they can go on are domestic violence calls. About 8% of the calls for Anderson are domestic violence calls. So we start with the conversation with them and go, what is it that you're seeing? How can we then go to the next step, which is, what are we doing at the jail? How are we?
Isn't it all the sheriff's jurisdiction? How is that your jurisdiction?
So,
go ahead. It's an easy question.
Well, what you asked for is what I would do, and I would begin to have those conversations with each party that deals with this particular problem. This is the way to find the solution. I'll just tell you, I don't know what's missing in the whole process, except that we're not rehabilitating the offenders. The answer is, I believe the answer is you figure out how to rehabilitate the offender, get them healed so they stop striking their significant other or wife or child, and you, without losing the ability to care for the victims, right? So, I think we're doing the victim part okay, but figuring out how we can do that better. It's a county problem, and so as a supervisor, I want to find solutions. I don't have the solution just yet, except that I do believe if we can work with – the reason I want to work with the offenders is because I don't believe you can punish anybody into good behavior. I just as a moral issue, I just don't think it happens that way.
Punish into good behavior.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah.
I think you need to heal people into good behavior, but punishment doesn't seem to be working, right?
Okay.
So just locking that person up for a short period of time, kicking them back out because we don't have jail space, and sending them back into the home where oftentimes out of fear the victim will not leave. there's something missing in that process, and it's probably a small percentage of the population that keeps reoffending that makes us five times the average.
300, to be exact.
Yeah. So I believe the answer to your question, Terry, is we have to figure out how to rehab that offender. That's what I think is missing. How we do that and clarifying that that's the actual problem, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Our 7 to 10 years in, well, it was 10 years that we owned the community center. We worked with folks to keep them from going into that deep poverty, drug abuse, going homeless and all those things. We worked really hard at that. We didn't take state or local money. We funded it with volunteers and lots of generous people, but we were working with people to keep them from dipping into that next level of.
So is that what you see as a solution at the county level?
I would love to see that. I mean, we heard it 100 times. If we heard it once, it's like we want a manter house in every neighborhood, you know, because it would love on people and get there and say, hey, do a little better with your personal relationships. How about you manage your money?
Who pays for that?
Yeah, how does that affect the county?
Who pays for that?
Well, I think it's the private. Let me just finish my question. Private money.
Who pays for that, number one?
Right.
How would that fit into your jurisdiction, number two? And to Wynn's point, a real answer about the forensic audit, we'd like to know where all the money, and we've heard as much as $24 million that goes to HSSA mm-hmm. for the homeless. Mm-hmm. No one can find out where it goes. That, again, to Wynn's point, and frankly, we did get firm answers mm-hmm. from other candidates that they would have a forensic audit because they understand the issue.
Yeah.
If you've got money that you can't find, you can't find it by having the same people audit it that mm-hmm. have audited it, or what do you think, Wynn?
Well, no, the forensic audit cannot be performed by staff or anything, people that are not qualified to perform it. Just put it
100%. And we don't do that in Anderson. When we need a fee rate study, we hire outside a third party. You need a third party, Erica. We don't do our own engineering. When we need wastewater plan, we hire Pace Engineering. It's a no-brainer. Yeah, of course you would bring out outside. You would bring in outside counsel and a firm that is the experts in that.
Right.
And then you don't question them. They're the experts.
In the few minutes we have left, I would like to get to item number 3 mm-hmm. of what he wants to accomplish. And Terry, you have that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you've got homelessness while protecting public safety. I'll just say this and then give it to you, Mike. Where's the money going that Health and Human Services is getting for the homeless? Where's that money? And even though you didn't say you'd want a forensic audit, I mean, we're talking about the problems. I haven't heard Chris Kelstrom said that he would be for a forensic audit when he was running for office. And I'm just saying that's what he said to us. I'm just saying that.
It hasn't happened.
Well, we're not here to talk about him. We're here to ask you a question.
Okay.
And we're trying to get you to answer one. And this one is, so what do you mean by that? What do you mean homelessness while protecting public safety? How does that fit into the jurisdiction you have where you can now before you formulate a question, let me finish. The jurisdiction you have, the mm-hmm. interposition you can do because you have the jurisdiction, and the nullification if you need to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, when it comes to homelessness, I think they're separate. I don't know that I put an.
You put them together. I'm reading your website.
It's in my third group, but homelessness is a separate issue from public safety.
It says while protecting public safety.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm actually very encouraged when it comes to homelessness because of all the fraud, waste, and abuse we're finding out in the state of California. That encourages me. I mean, we're talking about a huge amount of money that's actually not going to the homeless.
Yes.
Right.
That's.
So where is it going?
Well, good question. Well,
how do you find out?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you where it's going because I watched the Benny Johnson interview when he walked with Sheriff Bianco and Steve Hilton, and it's going to a small group of people in research PATH and that building where we're housing a bunch of people really nicely while people are still sitting in their own squalor on the streets in LA.
Yeah.
At to the tune of $170,000 per homeless person. I believe it's 140 or 170. I think it's 170.
Wow.
So that's a lot. And that's just the city of L.A. We're not talking L.A. County. We're talking about within the city of L.A. So I am doing the research. So I'm encouraged by that, because when the waste, fraud, and abuse is, which is being called out, mm-hmm. I mean, I just heard recently $160 million going to one guy who funds a group that protests, which is illegal to use public funds to protest, by the way. So right. That's got rooted out. So another $650 million. So when we find these money pockets that are being misspent at the state level, I get encouraged, because it's like, God, some of that could trickle into Shasta County, and we could actually help fund those who are doing the good work. We dabbled in the homeless sector for a little bit at our Manter House at the end. It's a tough nut to crack. So I applaud anybody and everybody who's even willing to try to help folks who are stuck in homelessness, because it's really rough. That being said, I believe it's a bit separate from public safety. I've got a track record of giving Anderson Police Department men and women who patrol everything we could possibly afford, resources, yes, pay, I will tell you that, so that our city is the safest city around, and it's the cleanest city, and they do an amazing job. I will not waver on that. We can't always afford everything they need, but we did through some grants and some generous.
Are you talking
giving.
About the city of Anderson?
City of Anderson.
Okay, because we're talking about the county. Go ahead.
But I will pull that forward.
Okay.
And vote to support the men and women who are out there, boots on the ground.
Which would running. In your jurisdiction would be, who is a supervisor? Who is that your jurisdiction of?
When we vote to supply the funding to the sheriff.
The sheriff, go ahead.
Well, okay, Terry, I'm talking about also. Well, your current board just went to impasse with the deputy. So, you know, we've never gone to impasse in Anderson.
I think it's our current board.
Yeah. Okay. My point is, that will not change in Mike Gallagher as a supervisor. We're gonna support mm-hmm. the men and women who do the patrol, who are out there doing the work for sure. Mm-hmm. And you want me to say, I'm gonna support the sheriff and only the sheriff. I'm gonna support the whole group. Cause
nobody
I'm not
said
a cop.
That. Let me just clarify that. Okay. I apologize. Let me clarify.
Okay.
Let me clarify. I'm asking you because you said that the police officers, and I understand that, police officers are, I get it, but your jurisdiction is the budget of the sheriff. So mm-hmm. nobody's criticizing you here. I'm just asking you where you would go with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would continue to do what I've done for the last 7 years. It's just that simple, which is support law enforcement, keep our citizens safe as with everything we can possibly afford to get to them. That's what we do.
Okay, and so just for clarification, reading your website, that's tied in together on your website.
Sure.
I was reading your website.
Right.
It wasn't about a thing where there are two separate things. So that isn't what it says. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
At the county level then for homelessness, am I reading this correctly, that you would like to take the money and turn it over to individual groups? To, like you mentioned, a particular house in Anderson that
was my wife and I that did that, and we did it out of pocket with some generous donations along the way.
Problem,
but we didn't take public money to do it.
Okay. My problem with the public money spending, and at the state level it's so obvious, is that the people who get the money for homelessness to solve the problem are making the profit on that money, and they mm-hmm. have no incentive to end homelessness because then they put themselves out of business.
100%.
So at the county level, how can we effectively spend the money without supporting groups that want to continue the problem because they will continue
right.
to make money off of it?
Yeah, that... Therein lies the challenge, right?
That's why it's not an easy job to be a supervisor.
No, it's not. It might appear it's easy to be a City of Anderson council member, but I would beg to differ.
There's not a lot.
And I think, and I'm not whining.
I
said yes to this, so don't accuse me of whining about my job. I'm very grateful to get to serve the fine citizens of Anderson, and I hope to serve the city, the fine citizens of the county. There has to be some change with state law because the practitioners often who are actually doing really good work, like the Road Home, where they've taken people off the street and they've housed them and they're doing a fine service, but they're not taking the state money because they want to do it the way they know works, right?
Okay, when you're talking about the monies and stuff and budgets and whatnot, yeah. I kind of wanted to go back to, I thought about it earlier and I forgot, and I wanted to ask you now, so while I'm thinking about it, the sewer rates going up in Anderson, 288%, is that
something
real?
Like that, yeah.
So why? What happened? What caused that 288%?
Sure. I just found out yesterday the county did that down in Cottonwood recently in their 5-year rate increase year over year because that's how it works. So what happened is we had in 07, we had a wastewater rate study done, said we needed about $20 million of upgrades over time, not all at once, right? But these are the things I think it's a 20-year study.
Is there a sunset clause on this rate increase? I mean, it's
5 years. You can only do it for 5 years. So the Prop 218 rules say that you can do a rate increase put my 218 hat on. So we can, if 50% of the voter or the rate payer comes and rejects, then we can't do it. That's Prop 218 rules.
Okay.
We did not have that. We had about 60 people that were opposed, and I was thankful for them to come out. They needed to speak up. But we needed. I've owned this publicly multiple times, so I'm not. This isn't a first. Just so you understand,
right?
This
right.
is not the first time I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Our wastewater treatment plant was humming right along. Out of sight, out of mind, we had a couple of things that we had to do because when the chlorine rate, there was a company or a facility that shut down in Reno, skyrocketed the price of our chlorine, which finishes the water off, takes
yep.
all the last, and then, so cost shot up 30% 2 years in a row on PG&E. We have had 10 years ago when we could have started rate increases over a small rate increase year over year, we did nothing. 10 years, 1.9 million flatline income. It is called, I spoke about this the other night. It is a, enterprise fund. They're called enterprise funds and we can't use other monies in that. For wastewater, you
we
charge
do,
a rate.
We do have a call.
We have a caller.
Okay,
Bruce, you got to make it quick. We got 2 minutes. Go.
Okay.
Yeah, two quick yes/no questions. How are you going to vote on Measure B in the upcoming June election? And do you consider yourself a MAGA Trump Republican? That's it.
I think the B is going before the judge.
It's been there. It's supposed to be on the ballot, according to current.
Yeah, just give me yes or no only because I can.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I don't think it's funny.
No,
just wants a yes or no.
Okay.
B.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Except that we got cut off from the wastewater rate thing. So give me a second because
we've got a minute left. So I'm going to get your website in. Just answer them.
Okay. I haven't decided on Measure B in that. There's more conversation. I had a wonderful conversation the other day with
somebody. Okay. Got it. That's fine.
Okay.
Mega Trump Republican. Yes or no?
I voted for Donald Trump 3 times in a row.
Okay.
I'm a Second Amendment.
You got your answers, Bruce. Anyway, if you may want to get your, we're just.
I get it.
We're just trying to move it along.
Yeah. Okay, we're the only radio show in the county that'll do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, you know, we aren't planning these people. They call it in anyway.
Yeah.
Can you give people your website and how they can get a hold of you and how they can help you if they want to support you?
Go ahead. VoteGallagher.com. It's that simple. Yeah.
Smart.
Really? Yeah, keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
You got it.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.